Leaders from the Defense Department, the State Department, and the U.S. Agency for International Development were on Capitol Hill this week to testify about the steps they've taken to fix contingency contracting, including checking several boxes on a long list of reforms Congress mandated in this year's defense authorization bill. They cited gains in developing clearer lines of responsibility for contracting, better oversight, and better data collection. Senator Claire McCaskill helped to create the Wartime Contracting Commission, which found $30 to $60 billion had been wasted in Iraq and Afghanistan. She acknowledges contingency contracting has improved significantly.
Let me acknowledge that everyone's making progress. It is much better than it was in 2007 in every single one of your agencies.
But senators say and agency officials acknowledge the U.S. government has not yet relegated its contracting missteps to the history books. Exhibit A for the Senate Subcommittee on Contracting and Financial Oversight was an alert letter just released last week by the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. It found DOD had spent $34 million to build a command and control facility at Camp Leathernik in Afghanistan in 2011, a year after commanders there said there was no need for the building. It has never been used, and since it was constructed to U.S. electrical standards, it's essentially useless to the local Afghan government. Officials say it will most likely be demolished. Dick Jinman is DOD's Director of Pricing and Acquisition Policy.
I don't have an explanation, and it's very difficult to sit here and say that, at least as it's reported, and clearly we now have a building that's not needed, and I do not know how it will be finally disposed of. At least on the face of it, I have no ability to sit here and give you an answer on how that occurred or why it occurred. I do know that I need to let the investigation run its course and understand all of the details, so that we can determine as who in fact made the decision and why did it occur. It at least from my perspective at the moment, it defies logic.
A separate report from the Inspector General released after the hearing found that the contractor on a separate training facility for Afghan teachers failed to meet the terms of the contract. The building, according to auditors, exposes Afghans to fire and electrical hazards, exposure to sewage, and other health risks. But the Army Corps of Engineers paid the contractor in full without holding it accountable for the problems. But Jinman says DOD has taken steps to introduce more accountability, responding to one of the provisions in last year's law that requires it to establish a chain of authority for policy, planning, and execution of contract support.
I refer to this as the who's in charge question.
Exactly.
DOD Directive 3020.49, this is a mouthful, orchestrating, synchronizing, integrating program management and contingency acquisition planning and operational execution, lays out clearly who's in charge and what each of the individual roles are and what it is they do.
Who's in charge at the top? Who is the person
well,
at the
so,
top?
Well, so at the end of the day, within the department, you know, the one person that everybody goes to is Secretary Hagel. But you have the Undersecretary of Personnel and Readiness who has very distinct responsibilities when it comes to managing the force, of which contractors are a piece. Within the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, very clear responsibilities when it comes expressly to those issues associated with acquisition and contracting and the management of contractors on the battlefield. We've got the comptroller who has very clear responsibilities associated with the money and funding and what are we doing with it. The Undersecretary of Defense for Policy has very clear responsibilities, again, with how we do this. So when to the question with risk assessments analysis, we are all engaged in that.
DOD has also made major strides in overseas contract oversight performed by contracting officer representatives, increasing their ranks from 40 trained 4 years ago to more than 400 now. More importantly, Jinman says, is putting more of an emphasis on the idea that deployed commanders are responsible for contracting that happens in their battle space.
It's not the policy, it's the doctrine, and getting it so that the people, everybody understands what it is. When you go back to the Gansler Commission in 2007, it's the professional training, it's the execution, it's the exercises. The magnitude and the size of the number of personnel, both civilian and military, from second lieutenants and first lieutenants to senior enlisted all the way up through general officers, getting that inculcated in. We're encouraged when both General Petraeus and General Allen sign letters out that say contracting is the commander's business. For 100,000 people on a battlefield and who's managing them and overseeing where this goes, It's the getting that so that it's understood is by far and away the largest gap that we have.
Right.
It is one that we're actively working, but it is not one that we are going to solve today or tomorrow. I mean, I think we've made significant strides. Ma'am, we have a long ways to go.
At USAID, Aman Jahabani, the agency's senior procurement executive, says there's also been an increase in accountability and oversight there. He says AID has set up a new accountability review process in its senior leadership,
in which all new awards at the $25 million level will be validated by an assistant administrator to ensure the project meets several accountability criteria, including a demonstrated commitment to sustainable results. Additionally, the administrator himself will provide the final authorization to make an award at or above $75 million. USAID has also developed, for the first time ever, a corporate-level acquisition and assistance plan that allows us to see all procurements across the agency's worldwide operations. This plan has helped create transparency throughout the agency and has contributed significantly to streamline more effective implementing mechanisms.
DOD, AID, and state say they're also responding to mandates to report contractors' performance into a central database so that it can be used by procurement officers during future awards. OMB wants agencies to report performance data on all their contracts by 2015. DOD says it's currently reporting on about 80% of its contracts. At USAID,
we are at about 27% right now. And as the end of the fiscal year comes to a close, a lot of those reports will be coming in. So that number, that percentage will go up. And we do have we've set aside November for the past performance month. And we will have another stand down day to make sure we achieve the 65%, well on our way to the 100% in calendar year 2015.
The State Department is not using stand-down days, but Patrick Kennedy, the Undersecretary for Management, says it's issued orders to its contracting staff to begin adding performance data to the government-wide database.
We have also started out, and I will fully admit, from a pathetic base. We've doubled that. The last snapshot we took and just is about 17%. But just as my colleague from AID said, the data flows in at the end of the fiscal year as you're closing out contracts. We believe that we will be 45 or 50% at the end of this fiscal year.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.